The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, September 2nd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Better yet, it's got to be the day before kickoff of college football season for my Boise State Broncos. Go Broncos. Also joining us in the studio is Ganja John, who's got something else to say, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow's the starting date for the Oregon Ducks, too, playing in Dallas against LSU. It's going to be a ridiculous game.
It's a weird situation in that John's team is playing a team that's not playing at home, right? LSU's going to be playing in Dallas. My team is playing Georgia, which won't be playing at home. They won't be between the hedges. They'll be in Atlanta. And they're both playing at 5 o'clock Pacific. So we are going to find ourselves some ESPN, some ABC, some DABS, and just have us a day. It's going to be a good time. Hey, also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grassdoria, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie.
Hello. Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome back from Florida, Russ. I can't wait to hear all about that.
Oh, yeah. I had to swim through the atmosphere there in Florida. It was very, very humid, but we had a good time. Met up with the kids at the Normal at University of Central Florida. Hell, they're all half my age. I can call them kids. What an amazing chapter they had there. We had a full lecture hall, a standing ovation. And, you know, I've seen standing ovations before where, you know, one person stands and two or three stand. This was like a spontaneous, everybody stood up at once, standing ovation. I was so proud. And then yesterday, I had a 3.5 hour layover in Atlanta. Tanya Burgess from Georgia Normal picked me up. We went and had sushi and beer and some special 5 hour flight therapy that was very, very helpful. So thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Normal UCF. It was a great time. Now, on today's show, we got all sorts of stuff coming up here for you. It is Labor Day weekend coming up, so there won't be a show on Monday, so we're going to have to pack a lot of stuff in today. Herb Thrasher joins us at 20 after for our Rockin' Friday segment. He's got this great band called Cannabis Corpse, not Cannibal Corpse. I've heard of Cannibal Corpse. This is Cannabis Corpse, and today's song is called Beneath Grow Lights, Thou Shalt Rise. Now, that's a rock song. At half past the hour, we've got our Celeb Stoner segment. We're going to get the latest celebrity entertainment and sports news from Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. He's got updates on the New York Metro Softball League and our NFL All-Drug Team. I've got a radical rant about Labor Day here at the end of the show, but before we get to all that, Cannabis Carrie has the hemp headlines. What's in the news today?
We are going to pack some news in. First, we're going to go to Oakland, where if you're in the area and you've got a California medical marijuana card, I'm going to tell you something that you should definitely check out this weekend. Also, some scientists have finally mapped the genome sequence of the cannabis plant. We'll tell you what the implications of that are. Some Montana probationers are asking for SB 423, at least parts of it, to not take their cards away. Colorado's still having a problem wading through their DUIID laws. And we've got some breaking news about the doctors at Hemp Fest that I'm going to defer to you if we can fit it all in.
All right. That's a lot of news coming up. Plus, we got Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll hang out here, talk a little bit about weed and college football, and take your calls at 971-533-7111. Also, check out our poll at our Ustream page. Whose team's going to lose first? We're right back after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at seedlesssummertour.com. Slightly Stupid.
We don't need no cocaine.
Revolution. Swayze. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
You are listening to Pod Safe Music on Normal's Daily Audio.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrests of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A Montana woman who is on probation is asking a judge to consider letting her continue using medical marijuana, even though a new state law prohibits people on probation from having a state-issued medical marijuana card. According to her lawyer, Heidi Fields has a well-documented history of chronic pain and spasticity and a poor response to narcotics. She is on probation related to deceptive practices, a charge that she received all the way back in 2001. Senate Bill 423 that was passed this summer, severely limiting the existing medical marijuana law in Montana, includes a statement that says, "A person may not be a registered cardholder if the person is in the custody or under the supervision of corrections or a youth court." Currently, there are about 1,000 medical marijuana cardholders who would like a chance at keeping their card since the bill was passed. Now, this isn't the only probation medical marijuana case that her lawyer, Chris Lindsay, is working on. And he did acknowledge this morning that the direct language of SB 423 may be tough to overcome. But District Judge James Reynolds, in his June 30th ruling that granted part of the preliminary injunction that was sought by the Montana Cannabis Industry Association, at that time said that challengers by probationers to the ban should be made on a case-by-case basis, and he is hoping that the judge will allow that. He is also hoping that in Judge Reynolds' notes on considering the case, he said that marijuana is, quote, a lawful means of seeking one's health, and that under the Montana Constitution's guarantee of the rights of residents to, quote, seek their safe, health, and happiness in all lawful ways. Lindsay has an understanding that people on probation do not have the same rights as others, but insists that sick people who just happen to be on probation should not have to face a blanket ban. Now, in a statement on the matter, Ron Alsbury, who is the state probation and parole bureau chief, said that he believes that people who had cards before SB 423 should be allowed to keep them, but not renew them when they expire. Now, under that scenario, since the cards are only for 1 year at a time, all probationers should be without cards by July of next year. Aylesbury has said that medical marijuana use compromises their ability to supervise offenders. He gave an affidavit to the court to Judge Reynolds that stated, quote, offenders who use marijuana typically are polysubstance abusers who abuse alcohol and other illegal drugs or prescription medicines. Using a mind-altering substance such as marijuana typically leads to the use and abuse of other substances such as alcohol, methamphetamine, and prescription drugs. From my experience in the field of probation and parole, I know that substance abuse by offenders leads to probation violations and new felony offenses, including driving under the influence, assault, partner family member assault, and aggravated assault. He also says that medical marijuana use makes it difficult for probation officers to keep offenders from associating with other illegal drug distributors, and that offenders are more likely than people without criminal histories to turn their access to marijuana into a profit opportunity. Well, Russ, at least now you know his reasons.
Okay, so is it medicine or is it not medicine? Because this guy keeps saying something about, well, if they use the medical marijuana, they're more likely to abuse alcohol, illegal drugs, and other prescription medicines. Does that not work for alcohol and prescription medicines? If they use alcohol, are they likely to abuse other drugs? If they use prescription medicines, or, you know, maybe people on probation shouldn't be allowed to have any drugs whatsoever, not even prescriptions. I mean, people abuse OxyContin, and that puts them in contact with a certain element. People get OxyContin pills, you know, they get the prescription for them, and they will sometimes use them as a profit opportunity. You know, the same excuses that he's giving to ban probationers here from using medical marijuana could be used for OxyContin, could be used for alcohol. What this has to do with is them not believing that marijuana is medicine. Here we have a woman who is a medical marijuana patient. She's jumped through all the hoops that Montana required her to jump through. She's proven that she's got chronic pain and spasticity that do not respond well to narcotics. She has no other choice. And so the state of Montana is going to turn to her and say, I'm sorry, since you're on probation, you have to live in pain. You have to live with your spasticity. That's the punishment. That's against our Eighth Amendment rights, against cruel and unusual punishment. There is no way that our founding fathers would have stood for the idea that withholding medical treatment from someone is a valid way to punish them for a crime. And Carrie, I wanted to ask you a question on this. That charge you mentioned that got her on probation, did that have anything to do with marijuana? What was that charge?
I believe it had something to do with a credit card, nothing to do with drugs at all.
Right. So because she had, you know, made some mistake in some other area of her life, not even, you know, trying to fake a medical marijuana card or do any fraud or get caught selling or anything like that, you want to have this woman suffer? Shame on you, legislatures of Montana. Shame on you. This is ridiculous. I sure hope everyone gets involved with MontanaNormal.org and all the other groups in Montana that are working on a repeal of this bill, SB 423. It needs to go now.
And in Oakland, California, they've always been at the forefront of the medical cannabis movement in the state since they passed Proposition 215 back in 1996. From the world-renowned Oaksterdam University to the city policies that have allowed medical cannabis to flourish. Well, this weekend they're having a cannabis street fair. But since it is Oakland, the cannabis street fair will feature speakers, music, vendor booths, and something that is bound to be the most popular, an open-air lounge for medical patients only. The 215 area of the street fair will be located directly in front of City Hall. And those with a valid medical marijuana card from the state of California will be able to ingest, smoke, or vaporize cannabis. Now, this will be out in the open air and right in the shadow of the City Hall building. The event is billed as the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo, and it starts tomorrow at noon. Oakland has some of the longest-lived underground cannabis social clubs, some that have opened their doors back in 2004. And in 2009, Oakland voters passed a tax and regulate measure to tax cannabis businesses, the first of its kind at the time. Many in the movement would like to see Oakland be a tourist destination for cannabis enthusiasts. Already, Oaksterdam University, located in the heart of Oakland, has about 2,000 students a year, and more than half of those students come from out of state to seek a degree in cultivating, cooking, and marketing cannabis. This is actually the third year for the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo. The first 2 years, it was held at the Cow Palace. But a state moratorium on drug use in state facilities meant that the event couldn't return. So now the Open Street Fair will be located for 2 days on the area bounded by Broadway, Clay Street, 14th and 16th Street that includes the Frank Ogawa Plaza. There will be a single point of entry, and those under 18 will not be allowed into the event. Tickets start at $20, and organizers are expecting about 20,000 people to come check out the event that begins again tomorrow at noon.
All right. All sorts of great things going on there at the third annual. I call it Inchy, I-N-T-C-H-E, the Inchy. I was there at the first one at the Cal Palace. It was a great event, and it's only gotten better. Celeb stoner Steve Bloom is going to be down there moderating a panel discussion. I got a tweet from Henry Hemp. The Hemps are on their way with the first opportunity to see their little budlet. Yeah, little Zena's going to be there. So check that out. The International Cannabis and Hemp Expo in Oaksterdam this weekend.
And a Colorado commission that has been tasked with reviewing the state's marijuana policies over the last few months is slated to deliver suggestions to the Drug Policy Task Force next Wednesday. But the group is still struggling with a conclusion over one of the main issues before them, and that is setting a legal THC impairment limit for driving on Colorado roads. The commission was formed in response to the Colorado House Bill 1261 that was defeated last April that proposed a 5 nanogram limit of THC per milliliter of blood. House B 1261 cleared Colorado's House last spring but was shelved by the Senate Judiciary Committee amid growing concerns that the 5 nanogram limit was too strict due to the lingering presence of THC after a patient is no longer feeling the effects of marijuana. The bill was held up, at least in part, due to the lack of evidence that a specific blood content level indicates intoxication. According to Colorado's Department of Transportation, 411 people were killed in crashes involving a driver that tested positive for drugs. Now, they don't break down which drugs for us, and that was between 2006 and 2010. That's about 16% of all traffic fatalities in the state. Opponents on both sides have called for changes of that bill, and both are suggesting higher and lower thresholds to define intoxication. The DUIID Marijuana Working Group said that the limits will do little for public safety since blood test results will not be available on the spot. Now, they will most likely suggest an increase in the number of drug recognition experts, that's DREs, in the field. They are officers who are trained specifically to recognize impairment of drivers who are under the influence of drugs other than alcohol. Colorado has legalized medical marijuana for the last 11 years, and the push to create driver impairment models is at the urging of law enforcement in the state.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of times people will say, gee, what does normal do? What has normal ever done for me? This is something normal has done for you. Our Paul Armentano is probably one of the leading experts, maybe the leading expert in America on this whole science of nanograms per milliliter DUID testing. He's been working with a lot of the researchers, Franjo Grotenherman and others, and giving their input to this committee there in Colorado to convince them that there is no per se DUID standard that makes sense at this point. We don't have the science that shows that. While 5 nanograms per milliliter has been shown to be indicative of recent use and level of impairment in a infrequent cannabis user, it says nothing about the frequent cannabis users, the cannabis patients out there. And we saw the case of William Breathe, their pot critic, who tested at 13 nanograms per milliliter after 24 hours of abstinence. Setting per se DUID limits just means locking up cannabis consumers who are not impaired. That's what's going to happen. And unfortunately, it's something that's contained in that I-502 in Washington that we'll be talking about more as the year goes on. Furthermore, one other thing on this DRE, drug recognition expert. Remember, if you're stopped, always pee, never DRE. Go ahead and submit to a pee test or the drawing of the blood. Don't submit to DRE tests. Think of them asking you, hey, would you please give us evidence that you're impaired? That's the rule there.
Last week, a company called Medicinal Genomics announced to the world that they had finally finished genome sequencing for cannabis sativa and cannabis indica, two of the three species of marijuana. That may be some great news for pharmaceutical companies, but not so much for those of us looking for super stony strains. They plan to use the research to help scientists breed marijuana strains that have more medicinal benefits but get you less high. The founder of Medicinal Genomics, Kevin McKernan, who is a veteran of the Human Genome Project, an MIT-backed effort to map the human genome, became interested in the medical benefits of cannabis when friends showed him a study that claimed that certain cannabis compounds have been able to shrink tumors. McKernan said that the challenge was that there are so many different cannabinoids in the plant, they were having a problem measuring what was doing what. He needed a genetic understanding of the actual plant. Other than shrinking tumors, other potential benefits of the 85 different cannabinoids in a cannabis plant include reducing pain and calming inflammation. He says over the last 30 years, indoor marijuana growers have been breeding plants for a better and better high, sometimes effectively eliminating many of the other useful cannabinoids or making their presence too small for the medicinal benefits to be achieved. Growers are looking for a high THC count. He is looking for a varied cannabinoid count. The project has moved much quicker than expected. They started the sequencing of indica and sativa in June. Medicinal Genomics has spent around $200,000 for the sequencing map. They plan to spend another $200,000 refining the results. Now, the next step for Medicinal Genomics is to look for strains that are high in therapeutic cannabinoids, like CBD, a compound that has been shown promise to reduce inflammation, anxiety, and nausea. McKernan says that ultimately their plan is to understand the genetics so the companies that are interested in making drugs from cannabis have better science to work with. The company plans to make most of the research available on the web. McKernan says that is because of the bottleneck of information in the U.S. about cannabis science, since it's illegal to handle the plant without some kind of license. He says putting it on the web will make it so everyone in the world can study it, this if they want to. And for the record, Medical Genomics is a Massachusetts-based company, but their plant lab is located in the Netherlands.
Oh, wow. You know, they're always trying to breed out the high. What they're not realizing is that the high is part of the medicine. When you're sick, it gets awful depressing. Hey, let's ease that depression. Back in a second.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Hey, what up? It's the Dirt Ball from the Cottonmouth Kings. You are now listening to the Normal Show Live.
U.S. Vienna, Malgo, Broke Down Barrier, Herb is Medicine to Broke Down Barrier, Boost the Economy and Broke Down Barrier, It's Helping Other States, Broke Down Barrier, Cannabis for Legalized to Broke Down Barrier, Join and Speak Your Voice, Broke Down Barrier, We Gonna Change the Law, Broke Down Barrier, We Got to Educate, Broke Down Barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI Normal, working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Har, har, because it's always smoking matey. Har, 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 har.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Oh boy, I can't wait for this one. We got Herb Thrasher here for Rockin' Friday. All sorts of cool stuff happening, so let's get right into it.
Football season, man. Isn't that number one?
That's the number one thing, I'm telling you.
You're looking hot today, dude, in that blue and orange.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, I told you the story. I was in the Atlanta airport, and I'm wearing the blue and orange, and this guy comes and taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around, and this large guy, and he's wearing an Oklahoma University Sooners hat, and he says, "I never thought you guys would win that game," which was a whole lot better than what I was expecting, which was, "Damn, you reek of weed."
Hey, Oklahoma fans know, they know what's going on, and they're too scared to talk about weed in Oklahoma, man. I think they'll give you like a 100-year sentence, you know?
Yeah, probably so. So we've got all sorts of great rock coming up here. Herb Thrasher is going to be starting a new rock show after the festival season, and we're collecting interviews. We're going to have all sorts of great bands on them. Give them a little preview of what we're up to tonight.
Well, we're going to go to, in about a couple months ago, we had a group on here, Valiant Thor. So hopefully you guys remember them and have been out there to see them. And they're in Portland tonight. And hopefully we have a planned interview with them and maybe get to film a couple songs, one or two live, and bring that back and show you guys. Anyway, that's the plan. We're going to go rock. That's the least that'll happen for us.
Oh, so yeah.
Hopefully we'll have some good stuff. But Valiant, you know himself, he's such a cool dude, and I can't imagine this not coming through. So
you know,
I'm fired up.
I saw also your interview with Tommy and Kevin from The Accused got spread out through Blabbermouth.net and some of the other the metal outlets online, right?
Well, we're trying. You know, I set it out. I haven't actually seen that it made that. If you have, send me the link. But we're trying. You know, we're going to try to get the word out there that normal rocks. We don't just smoke weed. We rock, and we know football, and we know how to cook, and we know all kinds of good stuff.
Right on. And also, we've got, of course, a song for today. And when you sent me the track list from this band, I thought it was a joke, but not at all, right? Tell us about the band.
No, you know, really, what I've been thinking about it, and dude, what we have here is the heavy metal, death metal version of the Cottonmouth Kings or the Individuals type.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know how the hip-hop scene, they've kind of always, you know, grabbed pot and sang about it. Some bands, every song, every album cover is about pot. And that's what Cannabis Corpse has done here. And it's kind of like a super group. Most of them are from different bands. And I guess, you know, they're backstage smoking weed and partying, and they decided, hey, let's get together and have a fun band. And so really this is a fun band, and it's just kind of supporting cannabis. And those two things, we're going to be all over that.
Yeah, some of the track names on there, I can't even remember all of them. From the Dank Side and Slaves to the Cron. I love it.
Well, I've got a couple listed in this little bio. In fact, this is a good lead-in for the bio, so we'll get started on this. Richmond, Virginia's death metal tyrants, Cannabis Corpse, released their stonerific sophomore album, Beneath Grow Lights, Thou Shalt Rise, via Tank Crimes. The record is available on a variety of tasty formats, including a Wicked Pro Stoner Die Hard edition, and is available from order through Tank Crimes web store. Following in the tradition laid down by their earlier releases, each song on the record is inspired by a classic death metal track. This time around, Morbid Angel and Deicide are getting the cannabis treatment. Tongue and cotton mouth cheek titles like Lunatic of Pot's Creation and Immortal Pipes keep the party rolling, but don't be fooled. Cannabis Corpse are not a joke band. Sure, they'll fire up a bowl and chug a beer, but then they'll rip your face off with a brutal old-school death metal assault, the likes of which haven't been seen when the seeds in the genre first began to grow. With the European invasion slated for August and September, keep an eye out for their Facebook page for other tour dates. So you guys can check them out on Cannabis Corpse Facebook. They're still on MySpace too, so MySpace must still be going. And saintcrimes.com. And all I can tell you guys is to fire up some herbage and get ready to listen to some riffage. And have a great weekend, and roll tide.
Roll tide, roll. All right, this is Cannabis Corpse with Beneath Grow Lights, Thou Shalt Rise.
Oh,
want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu. This is Normal Show Live.
Okay, class, repeat after me. Am I free to go, officer? I don't consent to any searches, officer. I wish to speak to my attorney before answering any questions, officer. These three phrases may help your attorney keep your ass out of a jail cell someday. So memorize them and use them.
I was there. Yeah, it was called the 80s. Ford was president, Nixon was in the White House, and FDR was running this country into the ground.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history. Profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
All right, everybody, welcome back, and we are doing this live, absolutely. We've got Steve Bloom in a cab in New York on his way to get out to Oaksterdam for that Inchi festival that's happening. Steve, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, you just got me. It's lucky you called me on my cell instead of my landline because I just left the house.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and I guess if you got to take a cab ride, which airport you headed to?
Heading to JFK. New York. I'm heading to JFK. I'm going to Oakland. I'll be there tonight, later this evening, and I'm going to be spending the night with friends and then getting up in the morning and going doing what you're familiar with doing, you know, being a panel moderator.
Right on. Well, what panel you got going on? Who's on it?
Well, basically, you know, it's sort of like the smokeout, but I didn't coordinate the panelists, so they organized it. So they just basically are bringing me out to be the moderator, not to really, you know, be the producer of it. So there's a bunch of panels. There's a Pioneers panel with Debbie Goldsberry and Richard Lee and Steve D'Angelo and the Aldridges. There's a great women's panel that's called Innovators with Mickey Norris and Melissa Ballin and Angel Raich and Cheryl Schumann and a few others. It's a good panel. It's a kind of who's who. Whoever's out in the Bay Area who's not going to Burning Man.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool that you guys will be outdoors, outside around the City Hall area. We did the news story earlier today how they got moved out of the Cow Palace. So how do you think that's going to turn out?
You know, it seems like, you know, the way they do things in Oakland is different. In Oakland is different than any place else in the country. So obviously they have the blessing of the city. And one of the panels is going to include some Oakland representatives. So, you know, they do things, they march to a different drummer out there. And so I suppose it'll work. You know, it's going to be in a 5-block area from 14th Street and Clay heading towards City Hall. Not quite sure of the layout. Now, I did go to the original Inchi Festival for International Cannabis Hemp Expo that was at the Cow Palace in Daly City, and that was the first time that they had people smoking outdoors.
That's
so
right.
They did break through with that event, but I wasn't really crazy with the layout nor the location, Daly City itself. So I'm kind of happy they've moved it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good location out there. We were there for the Prop 19 election night coverage, and you know it's a great neighborhood. It'll be a lot of fun. Now let's get to sports here because we've been following all year, you know, through your information here on the show about the New York Media Softball League, and of course the big rivals, the High Times Bong Hitters and the Wall Street Journal. Tell us how the league turned out.
Well, the league finished up last night in the regular season. Each team is a 16 league, the New York Media Softball League, and they all play each other twice. The league is High Times, Wall Street Journal, WNYC, DC Comics, Newsweek, Daily Beast, and Forbes. So it's, you know, formidable teams and groups and companies. High Times is, you know, sort of a legendary reputation of really being tough to beat. So they actually ran their schedule this season only losing one game, 9-1. Now Wall Street Journal going to the game was one game behind High Times, shooting for first place. And this is the way it's proceeded the last couple of years. The Wall Street Journal has got the best of High Times last year, winning the championship game, and winning the last two titles. So last night was an epic game. It was the second game. High Times needed, not only they didn't really even have to win, they just had to not lose by two runs because they already beaten them by two runs, so they would have won the tiebreaker. But this game went to 11 innings. It was Wall Street Journal took an early lead. High Times kind of caught up on the bottom of the sixth, made it 5-5. Nobody scored again until the 11th. Wow. I hadn't really seen a softball game like that in a long time. Pretty tense game. Very, you know, sportsmanlike. They've had other games before that were a little less. Like nobody was yelling and screaming at each other during this one. I think I was a little awed by the game that it went on so long.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so High Times won, and now we go into the playoffs. The High Times is the 9-1 is has the number one seeding in the league. They've won, you know, the regular season schedule, but they still have to win the playoffs. The playoffs are September 10th. Four teams are in the playoffs out of the six, and it's going to be High Times against Newsweek, Daily Beast in the first round. That's the first team against the fourth. And Wall Street is second place. They'll play third place, DC Comics. And they're very close. DC Comics was 6-4. Wall Street ends the year 7-3. So High Times, Wall Street, and DC are all really capable of winning the title, but you know, Newsweek Daily Beast is a complete long shot.
Okay, well, we'll
they're only 3-7. This
yeah,
season. They kind of snuck in.
So we'll keep up on that as the playoffs go on, and you know, go Bong Hitters. That's so great for us. You know, they always portray marijuana consumers as being lazy and unachievers, and here we are beating the Wall Street Journal. I love it.
They're a great squad, and both teams are. But they're really a unique group of players. That Bong Hitter team.
Now, the other thing we've got going in sports here, you know, you've had this long running series of the NFL all drug bust team, and that kind of led me to an idea of, hey, let's see what would happen if all of these drug bust players or people that were involved with marijuana, if they were all a fantasy team, how would they do? So I've created the Viper Football League on the NFL Fantasy League, and one of our running backs, Lawrence Maroney, is in the news. Tell us what's happened with Lawrence.
Well, Maroney was arrested on marijuana and a gun charge back in January. He's a you know, former star with the Patriots during, you know, some of the Patriots' great years, and was with the Broncos most recently. And it was, you know, a standard, you know, car stop. This is in St. Louis. He's from there. And they threw it out because they didn't have they never charged him with guns. They did charge him with possession of marijuana. They threw it out because the evidence was lacking. And so it's fairly typical. You know, he's very proud of his attorney. You know, he said basically, you know, they didn't have the evidence, and that's it. What did you learn from it? You know, don't put yourself in a situation when you can sort of be charged with something that you didn't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit of the driving while black kind of situation here. But Maroney doesn't have a team. You know, he's been punished, you know, for this, you know, crime that he didn't commit. He was not picked up. His contract wasn't picked up by the Broncos, and he's a free agent. So we need somebody to pick him up so he can be in our league.
Yeah, we got to have him starting somewhere. We'll see what happens
exactly.
With that. Okay, the other thing that we always follow on celebstoner.com are the latest stoner movies, as we call them, and there's a new one with Paul Rudd out called Our Idiot Brother. You've seen it. Can you tell us a thumbs up or thumbs down?
It's a fun movie. You know, Paul Rudd plays a hippie. He's a guy who's just a true believer in just being honest, and he's maybe not the smartest guy, not the sharpest tool in the shed. So he does some dumb things, including getting arrested when a cop in uniform you know, asks him for weed, and after him saying no, the cop cajoles him into thinking, oh, come on, come on, come on, I can really use it, and he gives it to him and says, you're under arrest. That's how the movie begins. So he spends 8 months in jail, and he comes back to New York, and he lives at a farm, and he goes back to his, well, he goes back to his farm, and he finds his girlfriend, his hippie girlfriend, very crunchy, has dumped him for another crunchy dude, and not only that, they've taken his dog, this beautiful golden retriever, who he names Willie Nelson. He's really attached to Willie Nelson, and he wants his dog back, but they won't give it to him, so she's really rough, and he has to go. So now it sets him off on this adventure of, like, where am I going to stay? He goes to stay with his mom, Mr. Shirley Knight, goes to stay with his three sisters, who are all sort of unique in their own way. One's played by Elizabeth Banks, one's played by Zoe Deschanel, and another one's played by Emily Mortimer. And so, you know, you sort of follow their stories. And I love Elizabeth Banks. She's really bitchy in this movie. It's really funny. She kind of really gets on him for being so dumb. But he keeps on getting everybody's way by saying things that he shouldn't say, but it's generally truthful. And so they learn a lot from him in his, you know, in his approach. There's no weed in the movie other than the time that he has the arrest, and then he has another incident with a parole officer or a probation, where he basically admits that he smoked recently, and again, he's like, oh, this, oops, you know, I shouldn't, you know, just, you're not supposed to tell me that. So it's really a fun movie. Paul Rudd's great. It's a great cast. Music is really good. There's a bunch of Willie Nelson tunes in it, a version of Midnight Rider, which I love, that I hadn't heard before. And there's this just lovely, you know, Willie Nelson theme. And also, it's directed by Jesse Peretz, who is the original bass player and co-founder of the Lemonheads, which I thought was a cool angle as well. He's made a few other movies, but, you know, this is sort of his big, kind of bigger budget breakthrough movie, and I chatted with him a little bit about that, the whole Willie Nelson thing, and, you know, it sort of made a little sense, being that he's a musician and has an affinity to Willie, so it's really nice. It's just a nice movie. I recommend it.
Right on. All right, and to end up the interview here, I know you guys have been hit by a double whammy of earthquakes and the hurricanes coming out your way. You've got a story about Sebastian Bach, the former Skid Row singer, that kind of hits home about what's going on up there in the Northeast.
Yeah, well, Sebastian, who has lived in Red Bank, New Jersey, just across the river from where I live in Brooklyn, you know, for 20 years, he has a house that was given to him by his manager back when he was a big star, when he was, you know, the front man of Skid Row, and, you know, they were making lots of money. So here's a house, and it was a guy, sort of legendary guy named Doc McGee, and so lived in this house for all these years, and he lived through a marriage. He raised two kids there. He's now divorced, kids at home. And lo and behold, his house got flooded during this recent hurricane. And it wasn't just a flood, but like a reservoir next door rose, and it forced the bridge off the reservoir, kind of just like detached, and it went slamming into his garage, which basically threw the whole house on the foundation. And according to his report on Facebook, the house is pretty much gone, and I think he looks at it as like, end of this period of my life too, you know, where it's like, that was then, and now I'm kind of, time to move, my marriage is over, raise the kids. Time to, he basically said, hello, L.A., like he's going to move to L.A. Mm-hmm. But the connection for me to this story is not just, you know, this happened to, you know, to this guy. But, you know, he was somebody who I got to know when I worked at High Times back in the 90s, and he had been on the cover of High Times, and I was the person responsible for doing that. Got to know him really well, and he invited me out to the house once. He probably shouldn't say, but he wanted to show me something that he had going on in the basement.
Sure.
And
recording studio.
the basement that has since been flooded, by the way. And also just sort of a, you know, friendship thing. Hey, dude, you should come out and hang out and stay over for a night. I never done that with any other rock star, you know, honestly. I've spent a lot of time hanging out with people on their buses and, you know, not usually in their homes, but, you know, so he invited me over. I stayed over. He was still he was married to his lovely wife at the time, Maria. He had one kid then, Paris. He's since had a second kid, Rome. He's since divorced with Maria. Paris was a little kid when I went out. He must have been 10 or something then, so now he's, you know, 20, 25, whatever. And but so I remember being there, so it kind of touched me a little bit that, you know, that I'd been to that place that he had lost. And you know, some people are real smirky about it on the website, sending in comments, you know, you're rich, so what, big deal. But, you know, hey, here's a person
This is his home. He lost a lot of valuables. He's a guy who has more valuables than the average person, all his collectibles,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's nothing to smirk about. I mean, the guy's, you know, had his big time as a major metal star, and, you know, will always be kind of, he's done so many other things too, as all his acting gigs and reality show stuff. He has a way of keeping in the news, you know.
Yeah.
This is not the way he wants to stay in the news this time, but. So anyway, I wish him the best of luck wherever
yeah.
he goes.
Yeah, good luck to him and everybody up there in the Eastern Seaboard. I know some people are still having trouble getting power and everything else out there. So,
we were fairly lucky in my part in Brooklyn. We lost a lot of trees. There was some power outages, but that was about it. I mean, we had some flooding in certain parts of the borough, but luckily, you know, we didn't get as slammed as they had thought. But we lost a lot of trees, and it's so sad to see the trees go. Hundreds of trees. I mean, they said 1,500 trees in New York were knocked down on this.
Wow. That's a shame.
So,
well,
I mean, it's obviously a lot worse up north, you know, with all the flooding, but it's still, you know, kind of nasty here, too.
Yeah, I hope everything goes well for you. And, Steve, we hope you have a good flight out to Oakland. I know it's going to be a good time at the International Cannabis and Hemp Expo out there. Check out SlebStoner.com, Reefer Movie Madness, Pot Culture. Anything else we need to plug, Steve?
Oh, that's about it. Then my next trip will be up to Boston Freedom Rally in September, right. But we'll talk about that before I go. Sure.
All right. Fly well, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right. Take care.
When we come back, a little time for a radical rant. We'll see you then.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
According to Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Space. You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. If you like what you hear and would like to donate to the cause, send your check or money order to Normal Show Live, 1600 K Street Northwest, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 20006. Your donation is a tax-deductible gift to the Normal Foundation and will be used to help support this online media. Thank you.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
Well, folks, this weekend is Labor Day weekend, and it's an opportunity for us to kind of herald the end of the summertime season, take that 3-day weekend, get one last chance out of the vacation. But I want everyone to take a moment to actually think about what Labor Day is, the day that we recognize labor in this country, the working man, working class people that make this country great. And one of the scourges on working class people these days is the use of these pre-employment and random drug testing that's primarily engaged in to snag marijuana consumers. When we look at the science between about drug testing, we find that the metabolites that are tested for most commonly in workplace drug testing are the metabolites for marijuana. Other metabolites are tested for as well, cocaine, methamphetamines, heroines, opioids, and so forth. But those metabolites are excreted from our urine within days or hours of use, whereas the metabolites from cannabis last for weeks to days within of use. Basically, it is much easier to catch someone on a drug test who is a cannabis consumer than it is to catch someone who is using any other type of banned substance in the workplace. workplace. This leads to a situation where people are motivated to move away from the safest possible substance they could be using and to possibly use other substances or alcohol instead. And we don't have very many workplaces that are doing pre-employment testing for alcohol now, are we? This is nothing more than discrimination against cannabis consumers, and it's one of the primary reasons I'm talking to you here today. My history is that I worked in information technology, and throughout all of my career working in IT, I primarily worked as a contractor rather than a full-time employee. The only place I worked as a full-time employee was the state of Idaho's Department of Health and Welfare, and that's because government workers weren't subject to random drug testing. They weren't subject to this sort of discrimination. There's been numerous court cases that have protected that right for government workers. So I spent 3 years working for the state of Idaho at their help desk. I was a model employee. I was cited many times for, you know, exemplary work. In fact, when a corporation came out of Boston, Massachusetts, they were called the Bentley Group, and they were a consulting firm, and their job was to install this new help desk data software, which was based in this new thing called SQL, which is, you know, old hat now to people in IT, but back then, back in the day, it was brand new, a brand new language, a way to deal with databases. And when they came into the state of Idaho to work that help desk software into our existing legacy systems, I was in charge of that project along with the consultant that came out. I was helping the entire state of Idaho revamp their IT networks, their IT systems and databases. And at night, I would go home and smoke a bowl. And then the next day, I'd come in and work again. And the consultant who came in was so impressed with my work that he hired me on the spot from the state of Idaho, took me out to Massachusetts to work for this company. And from that moment on, for the next 7 months, I was flying all over the country. I worked on Wall Street. I worked in the Silicon Valley. I worked in Chicago. I worked in all these big cities and these major corporations, lots of whom I can't even tell you who they are. But I worked in these major corporations, and I was the top consultant for the company, flying all over the country, working in all these different fields, having to figure out a completely new computer system every week and figure out how to shoehorn our database into that. And yet I was a cannabis consumer, a regular cannabis consumer. This led on to, after I got tired of flying around all the time, led to me coming back to my home state of Idaho and settling down as a software instructor, because as I tried to apply for the jobs that were at the big tech companies in Idaho at the time, Micron Technology, for example, they all had the pre-employment drug test, the random drug test. And I had always sworn I was never going to take one of those drug tests. I believe it's against our civil rights. It's against our American rights to admit to breaking the law. It's a Fifth Amendment thing for me. So I was never going to take a drug test. So this led to me working as a contractor quite a bit, because as a contractor, you didn't have to take these drug tests. You'd go on a temporary assignment, 3 months here, 4 months there, and so forth. But again, being a contractor, you don't get any health benefits. You don't get any retirement benefits. Your pay is well below that you would have in the similar job in a permanent position, right? So definitely an underemployed worker here, skilled labor. And also did some computer software teaching as well. No drug test involved there. But again, income half to a third what it should be. No benefits, no planning ahead for my retirement, no health insurance to speak of. I was on the don't get sick or injured plan. And finally, after I had moved to Oregon, and I was working with one of these companies for a while as a contractor, 2 years, as a matter of fact, as a contractor. And again, exemplary employee, on time, never uses up all his sick time, et cetera, et cetera. Stays late, comes early, all that kind of stuff. Never takes a lunch away from his desk kind of guy. After 2 years of working for this company, they finally said, we would like to hire you on as a full-time employee. And this, of course, meant a drug test. Now, by this point, I'm married, and my wife wants to have a house, and we need to get some security and some future, and they're dangling a six-figure income at me, and expense accounts, and company cars, and, you know, the whole madman lifestyle, right? And I finally succumbed. I said, okay, I'll take this drug test. I'll pass this one drug test, and I'll show them. You know, I'll go to work for them, and then I'll smoke pot after I get the job, and everything will be cool. So went through the whole liquid, you know, drinking a lot of water and exercising, trying to flush a system, when I was informed about halfway through that process that, no, it's not a urine test, it's a hair test. It's a hair test to figure out if we're going to hire Russ as a permanent employee. Now, at the time,
Like now, I was shaving my head, and so I didn't have any hair on the top of my head, and I was a little worried about, gee, how are you going to come about this hair test here for me? And they said, oh, they'll find a way. And I had to go to these buildings that were ironically named after the founding fathers to take the hair test, which was taking off my shirt and having a complete stranger pull out a single-bladed 39-cent Bic disposable razor, shave off my chest hair and armpit hair and put it in a little bag. And it was at that point I went, really? This is what it takes to get a job in America? Really? To have some stranger shaving the hair off my body? And that's when I walked out. I called the company, said, we're not going to do this. You know, they called back and said, doesn't matter because you failed anyway. And that's what led to this. You know, that door closed and this door opened. I got involved in talk radio. I won a talk radio contest. I met up Chris Goldstein. He transferred the job over to me. And now I'm here working as the voice of the Marijuana Nation, where the drug tests are multiple choice. So that's my little Labor Day story for you. And I guess the thing to take out of this is, you know, I'm not condemning people that take drug tests. I understand. I had to. I got to that point where, you know, my life requires me to lie, requires me to lie and be untrue to who I am. And so I don't disparage anyone that has to do that, that has to make that choice. What I do encourage all of us to do is to start fighting this drug testing and start working with unions and other, you know, organized groups, ACLU, for example, that are fighting against these drug testing procedures. You know, they started this drug testing by saying it was for our safety, it was for our own good. And then they started extending it to kids in the high schools, saying, oh, well, if you're going to play sports, it's dangerous, it's for your own good. And now it's extended all the way to kids in grade schools that want to be part of, you know, extracurriculars like chess club or debate club. It's just gone mad here with the expectation that we instill in our children from a very young age that they need to surrender their bodily fluids to the state or to the corporation in order to function in this society. It's offensive. It's just obscene when you think about how this country was founded and what we supposedly believe as Americans is supposedly the land of the free. So this Labor Day, think about drug testing in this country. Let's make a change. Let's contact our Congress. Let's talk to our fellow employees and understand that drug testing doesn't prove anything. It doesn't stop people from doing drugs. It doesn't make our workplaces any safer. Check out normal.org for the latest post on student drug testing, which found just the same information in a recent study. Doesn't help. Might hurt. And it's costing a lot of money. We got to put an end to this. So this Labor Day, make that something to think about. Tell your friends, we got to stop this workplace drug testing. All right, folks, we got to go. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for joining us here from Rolla J Studios. We will not be on Monday because it is Labor Day, but we'll be back Tuesday with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers, and go Big Blue!
Go Ducks!
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.